This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got a tremendous hour coming up for you. We're going to be looking at the NBA Finals. We're going to be looking at what we've all got in terms of this baseball card as we've got all 30 teams in action. And we're going to try to find you guys some winners for this Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got ourselves a lot that is going down. But first things first, before we go any further, for those of you guys that were looking at the late Saturday night action, and for some of you guys, this wrapped up early Sunday, indeed, Sean O'Malley, he did not get the job done in his fight, so that was a little bit brutal for him. And we did see Merab be able to defend that title, so there's that aspect of things. And right now, if you're taking a look at the UFC front, lots of favorites being able to come through these last few fights. We saw Kayla Harrison absolutely take it to Juliana Pena. Second round, she was able to get a submission in the final 5 seconds of that round to be able to get it done there. And then you did see another big favorite in Joe Fire be able to get it done against Kelvin. So you've got a lot that is going down in UFC right now. It's all about the favorites. Kevin Holland, he was a pretty sizable favorite. He was able to get it done as well. So lots of favorites out there, and that's honestly the opposite of what we've seen in MLB baseball. Before we touch upon some of these games, something that you do want to be noting if you've been betting on baseball here in the last few weeks, the underdogs have very much been able to cash. If you look at the last 7 days in Major League Baseball, underdogs are right now hitting at darn near 49%. 47-45 are favorites on the money line over the last 7 days, and keep in mind what these totals have been doing. You've had 57.8% of games going under the total the last 7 days. Now, if you just look at the weather all across the nation, we have been noticing not necessarily as hot of temperatures as you'd expect out there in the Midwest, out there in the northeast part of the country, as you typically get in like late May, early June. We'll see if this reversal, because it's supposed to be getting a little bit warmer nationwide, is going to lead to a few more overs. But that has been something intriguing to take a look at, and I'm so glad that I'm bringing that up, because this is a game that I'm going to be looking at the under on, and I'm going to be banking on some positivity. How about if we do go with the Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals game to start off this hour number three? It is 9:57, 9:58 on the card. Clayton Kershaw is going to be going for the Dodgers, and Mitch McGreevy goes for the Cardinals. That's a great name, by the way. And for McGreevy, anywhere between plus 120 to plus 125 is what you're going to find on him. Right around minus 135 to minus 144 is that number on the Dodgers, and total on scheme is 9. We saw the Dodgers very much held down by the St. Louis Cardinals on Saturday, and I don't think they're going to be held down to the tune of one run here, but that said, I'm going to be willing to take a shot here on the under. I said my total at 8.3. For McGreevy, a little bit of a young gun guy that not a lot of people are going to recognize. He got a few starts towards back half the 2024 season. He's made a long appearance or a long relief appearance or two, and he's been able to get a little bit of run here in the early part of the season. But for McGreevy, I actually really like the upside that he's got. As for Michael McGreevy, he's made one total appearance this far this season, 5 2/3 innings scoreless. You go back to last season, he made those four appearances and had a .196 ERA. So I do think that for McGreevy, him being able to supply what he's been able to, just being able to keep the ball in the yard for his career 28 2/3 innings at the big league level, giving up just one home run, that's something that you're able to bank on a little bit here. And if you go back to McGreevy's minor league numbers, as he has spent much of the season with the AAA affiliate Memphis. Now, this is the Independence League. If you take a look at just Major League Baseball and these guys coming up from the minor league level, big difference between the Independence League along with the PCL League. The PCL League, that's the Pacific Coast League. That is a juice ball league. You're going to have games played out in lovely Las Vegas, Reno, Sacramento, and we know how the ball has been flying out there in Sacramento. You just get a whole bunch of overs out there, and in the Independence League, you get more of these games in the northeast part of the country. Typically, that leads to pitchers having much more success. Like, if you see a pitcher in the PCL with a 5 ERA, that's honestly not too bad. In the Independence League, if you've got a 5 ERA, you are just stinking up the joint. So something that you do want to note there. But for McGreevy, at the minor league level, was giving up about 0.7 home runs per 9 this season, 9.5 punch outs per 9, and I think that it's going to translate up. You've got a Dodgers team that obviously has been a Death Star lineup this year. Top three team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. Top three team in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. And they've got that guy by the name of Shohei Ohtani who, oh yeah, he's pretty good. He's gotten north of 23 home runs this season. He's been able to give you a 380 on base, but it's not just him. You've been able to have Andy Paz be able to give you a double-figure amount of homers. In my opinion, he's been one of the more underrated players in all of baseball this season as he's done a nice job moving the line, getting on base. And speaking of moving the line and getting on base, Will Smith, Freddie Freeman, north of a 420 on base. But you've got yourself a problem with regards to Michael Conforto when he's been out there hitting a .168 this year. You've had Kike Hernandez pinch hit for him a little bit more, and rightfully so, because, man, it's not necessarily been amazing there. Max Muncy is starting to heat up a little bit with his power, but he's been hitting only about a .229 this season. And Mookie Betts, I mean, it's still a solid season, a .355 on base. He's been able to supply the team with 8 home runs, but for Mookie Betts standards, he's been down a little bit. And for the Cardinals, I do think that a team that is right there towards the middle slash bottom part of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, they're going to be able to turn the corner a little bit more. Ryan Helsley, I still believe, is one of the best closers in all of baseball. He, Kyle Leahy, Phil Matone have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA, and Jojo Romero is starting to round into form after he had a very brutal start to the season. And for the Dodgers, they've got a good long guy that they're able to rely upon for Sunday as well if you don't necessarily get a great performance out of Clayton Kershaw's. For Kershaw, 3 earned runs or fewer allowed in each out of his last 3 starts. There was one start where he gave up a few unearned runs, but has not been great for him. Less than 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, posting up an ERA above 5. This is not the Clayton Kershaw that we all know and love, but I do think that as he gets more experience out there on the mound, because keep in mind, he was limited to just 7 starts last season as well, I do think that he's going to be able to lock in, be able to give you a little bit more here moving forward. And for the Dodgers, you've got a team that's right around about league average with regards to a bullpen ERA. Jack Dreyer has been a nice long guy who's been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. They did have to use up one of their longer guys in Ben Casparis in the game on Saturday. Probably not going to be able to bounce back for this. Alex Vesia has been solid in the bullpen. He's been able to give you about a 3 or so ERA. And now they're getting Kirby Yates off the injury list. And that helps because he was on there now. He and Tanner Scott both north of a 4 ERA this season. They were 2 offseason signings that have just not necessarily panned out for the team. But now they're going to be getting Michael Kopech off the injury list as well. Kopech is a former starter that is able to throw 100-plus miles per hour. So that's going to be able to help out a little bit as well. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, just not a lot of power on this team. Lars Nootbaar, great name. He's been leading the way with 8 home runs this year. And I mean, for the St. Louis Cardinals, they're one of the best teams in terms of their on-base percentage. Just not the guys that are able to drive it in for you, though. Like, Wilson Contreras is starting to pick it up after a rough start to the season. He's giving you about a .320 on base. Brandon Donovan has been great, .315 average. But Nolan Arenado, 7 home runs, .306 on base. You expect a little bit more there. You've got a guy like a Mason Wynn giving you a .350 on base. Jordan Walker has just been a disaster for the team, and when he's been up at the big league level, just been rough. He's now on the injury list, so that's been a little bit of an issue for you. But getting back Yvonne Herrera off the injury list, sitting north of 300, I think that that's big. Now, I may be just a sucker for pain here with regards to Clayton Kershaw. I do think that he's going to be able to get the job done. I was seeing closer to a minus 130 a little bit before, and if we can get back down to about a minus 133 or so, we'll be willing to take a shot on that money line. I don't want the run line here. You're only getting it about plus 150. Plus 120, even with the way that the Dodgers typically cover run lines. I would rather take a little bit of chalkier money line here just with the question marks of Clayton Kershaw, but I do think that for Mr. Michael McGreevy, he's going to be able to give you a good start. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on this total under to go along with the Dodgers on the money line. Something else that you want to take a shot on are betting splits here at VSiN. They come straight from the source over at Circa along DraftKings. It gives you the best of both worlds because DraftKings, they're taking a lot of those public bets, a lot of the public money, and you're able to just gauge the broad market perspective. Meanwhile, Circa, they're taking some of the biggest bets out there from all sorts of professional bettors, so you're able to see the bets that are really moving the market, not just the public money. You're able to see the percentage of the bets versus the percentage of handle on every single game across every major sport. That helps you make smarter, more informed bets. Get exclusive access to our VSiN betting splits for as low as $9.99 for your first month. That's over at VSIN.com/subscribe, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Something that I found to be a little bit confusing here over the weekend. We saw the Arizona Diamondbacks as favorites in Game 1 and Game 2 and in their series against the Cincinnati Reds not get the job done, and now they're a pretty good-sized favorite here in the third game, and I don't know if I'm missing something here, but I'm going to be back on the Reds. So we're back to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati. Yes, the Bill Belichick reference, 955, 956 on the card as we look to do our job. As Brady Singer, he's going to look to do his for the Reds as about a plus 120 to a plus 122 underdog, right around minus 132 to minus 144 is the number on Arizona. You're getting a total of 9.5, and it just feels like the market is mispricing Zach Allen right now. Zach Allen has been terrible this year. He's got north of a 5 ERA, and I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking a little bit too much about this, but I recall when the Arizona Diamondbacks made that run to the 2023 World Series, I believe that he threw more innings between the regular season and the postseason of any pitcher in all of baseball. He had a little bit of a fall off last year. I'm still wondering if there's a residual effects of this. He's giving up 1.4 home runs per 9 innings. He's giving up 4 walks per 9 innings. This is not the Zach Allen that we all know and love. It's as if he's been abducted. Someone who's trying to be an imposter for Zach Allen is out there because hasn't been the same guy. Meanwhile, for Brady Singer, it's not necessarily been so tremendous for him as well. He's posting up north of a 4.4 ERA. He's allowing a little bit too much hard contact. He's giving up more than the neighborhood, about 1.3 home runs per 9 innings. And his walks issues have been a little bit of a concern as well. His command has went way down with about 3.7 walks per 9 innings. But at the very least, he's got a okay bullpen. The Cincinnati Reds, a little bit below average with regards to bullpen, but Tony Santian has been able to give you a sub-325 ERA. Taylor Rogers has been pretty solid as well. They had to use Brent Suter yesterday, but I mean, all in all, this has been a solid team. Meanwhile, for the Diamondbacks, even with Kendall Graveman coming back, well, he dug his own grave. He's up to an 8 ERA, but I mean, these guys have not been tremendous in the bullpen. The Arizona Diamondbacks, the bottom four team with regards to bullpen ERA. You get Justin Martinez back off the injury list, and you've had Jalen Beeks and Shelby Miller be relatively good long guys, but you've had guys like Juan Murillo and company be absolutely terrible in this bullpen. For the Diamondbacks, they've got some pretty rock-solid offense. You've had Eugenio Suarez, Corbin Carroll, both combined for 34 home runs, but I'm going to be willing to side with the Reds here on the money line, and I do think that both of these pitchers experience some positivity. I like that under as well. And coming up next, well, how about if we talk about Yankees-Red Sox, that big rivalry on the flip side on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Bank Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashin' Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Talking a lot of baseball right now here on the network, and you're able to download a free college baseball betting guide right now over at VSiN.com/CWS. That is VSIN.com/CWS. I'd be lying to you if I said I was like some sort of a wizard when it came to college baseball handicapping. I'm a little bit more of an MLB guy, but we've got a few folks here at the network that do an amazing job gauging the college baseball front of things, and they did a great job on that guide. I do know one thing. You typically want to be taking unders when these games go to Omaha, and we're actually going to be on location at Omaha next week with a few of our shows as well. So we've got a lot of fun coming up there, but we've got a lot of fun as well in terms of this MLB front as well, as we've been hitting quite a few of these games thus far, and I mentioned this game in passing in hour number one with regards to Phillies versus Pirates. We're going to hit that in a few minutes, but we do have to address Yankees versus Red Sox. This is going to be the Sunday night baseball game. This is going to be a big one, and in terms of big one, you're seeing a big money line price. This is 963-964 on the card. It is Hunter Dobbins who's on the bump for Boston, and Mr. Carlos Rodon is on the bump for the Yankees, and with the Yankees, Minus 202 to minus 220 is that money line, as low as a plus 178, as high as a plus 190 I'm finding on Boston. Most of the totals are an 8. We're starting to see a few 8.5s popping up as well. I was able to get an 8 over, and even if you have an 8.5, I would be considering a little bit of an over here. I did set my total at an 8.6. Now, you've got a bunch in the New York Yankees who have been certainly up, down all around the last few games, as without Luke Weaver, it does cause a little bit of strife, and that's a big reason why I'm in on this over, because Carlos Rodon has been very, very good for the New York Yankees. Right now, supplying the team with a sub-250 ERA. A lot of those issues in terms of giving up the deep ball, he's been able to rectify quite a few of those, but I think that there's going to be a little bit of regression with the fact that he's given up just 2 runs over his last 4 starts. He's a very good pitcher. I don't know if he's able to perform quite on this level. And now you go up against a Boston team that, yes, without Alex Bregman, it hasn't necessarily been the world's greatest for them, but I mean, this team is still number 6 in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. They're putting up north of 4.8 runs per contest. Lopez. Rafael Devers has been very rock solid along with Wilder Abreu of supplying power. Both of these guys, 13-plus home runs. Don't ask Rafael Devers to pick it up with a glove, but you know what? With that, 400 on base, he's done a nice job of being a move line, get on base. And Satane Rafael has been able to hit for north of 250, starting to supply a little bit more power as well. Rami Gonzalez had a nice home run on Saturday. He's starting to give this team right around about a 300 average, so even though you've got Alex Bregman on the fold, this team is finding a way to be able to mix and match. And for the New York Yankees, obviously this has been a very good team with regards to their offense, everything north of 5.4 runs per game. There's some guy by the name of Aaron Judge who's been giving you north of a 490 on base with over 20 home runs. It's been ridiculous, Aaron. What else has been ridiculous? The rebirth of Trent Grisham, who looked awful for years, whether that be with the Padres or with the Yankees. 13-plus home runs out of him this year. Ben Rice, 12-plus home runs. Both of these guys sitting in that neighborhood of a 250 has been rock solid. And then you got Cody Bellinger, who had a very brutal start to the season. He's been able to pick it up for the team as well. So you've got a lot of nice attributes with this Yankees team, but they had to expend quite a bit of the bullpen in the game on Saturday, and the guys that came out of the bullpen weren't necessarily looking so great. And now you've got Devin Williams at the closer's role. Now, being someone from the great state of Wisconsin, I am a bit of a Brewers fan. I thought that he was going to have a fall off when he left the Milwaukee Brewers. I was feeling a little bit salty about the way that things ended with that game against the Mets. I never thought it was going to be this. Like, this guy has been a complete and utter disaster for them. He's looked a little bit better recently, but man, he's not really been too trustworthy. I've already had a few run lines completely blown by him, so that's not great. And then for the Red Sox, you do have to have a few question marks with his bullpen, as Aroldis Chapman has still been really good for the team. Like, at some point, I think that he's going to go down the toilet bowl, because it feels like that happens to Aroldis Chapman every year. But he and Brandon Bernardino have been able to give you a sub-250 ERA. Garrett Woodlock has looked a little bit better as a long guy for the team. And Hunter Dobbins, who's going to be getting the start for the team, a sub-340 fielding dependent, more around a 407 ERA. He's given up less than a home run per nine innings. Not going to get a lot of whiffs. Little bit over 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. Command has been solid, less than 3 walks per 9 innings. So, thus far, I've liked what I've seen out of him. I think that he can give you a presentable start. I think that the Boston Red Sox get a little bit more to Carlos Rodon here. So, I'm going to be able to take a shot on the over, whether you got an 8 or an 8.5. And they're just making me the godfather offer on the Red Sox. With this big of a rivalry, with these two teams knowing each other the way that they do, being able to get as high as a plus 190 out there, even at, I mean, your lowest number is a plus 175. I was willing to take a plus 170 or higher, so I'm taking that money line of the Red Sox, and I'm going to be taking a shot on this over as well, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network, and we do have ourselves a lot of great baseball that's going to be coming up, and we have to address this as it is Paul Skeens Day on Sunday, and for those that partake in betting the Pirates money line, you've actually not been profitable on Paul Skeens Day, but it's not because of Paul himself. How about if we do dive in on this game? It's one that is towards the top, 953, 954 on the card. It is the Phillies against the Pittsburgh Pirates with Mr. Skeens and the Puckos between a minus 110 to a minus 115 favorite. And then it's Christopher Sanchez going for the Phillies. Even money to minus 105 is what you're finding there. This total is 7, shaded down a little bit to the under. And for Paul Skeens, he's done his part. He's been able to give you about 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He has given up fewer than 2.5 walks per 9. He has kept the ball in the yard with a half home run given up per 9 innings. He's put himself in position to win, and the team has made like your buddy at the bar and has not been able to close. Like, how in the world does Paul Skeens have a 4-6 record thus far? And you just take a look at why. It's because this team can't generate any sort of run support for him whatsoever. Now, if you look overall, the team is averaging actually 3.63 runs per game for him, but I mean, out of his starts thus far this season, 3 of his starts, they have scored 0 runs. 1 run in a few of his other starts, and then you've got 3 runs in total scored in 4 of his starts. So you do the math here, he has made 13 starts thus far this season, and they have scored 3 runs or fewer in 8 of them. That's a big reason why they are 5-8 right now, and it's not like he's backed up by some sort of a just trustworthy sterling bullpen or anything like that for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sure, Dennis Santana has been okay for this bullpen. Sure, you've had Caleb Ferguson give you a sub-3.5 ERA, but I mean, with David Benar, he has not been too trustworthy. Has he been a little bit better recently? Sure, but you still have your issues with him. Whenever you've been trotting out there guys like Joey Wentz and company, they have not been holding it down. And the big thing for this Pittsburgh Pirates team, you've got 3 guys with north of 4 home runs thus far this season. It's June 7th. They're really not getting the Powerball going. O'Neill Cruz has been able to give you 12 home runs. He's flying about a 350 or so with regards to that on base, but he missed the game yesterday. Like, you've got so many of these guys that they for one, can't move the line, and for two, they're not providing any sort of power whatsoever, like Jared Trollo, Tommy Pham, Brian Hayes. I mean, these are guys give you a 225 or lower. They're not drawing walks. They're not giving you much of anything whatsoever. Henry Davis, ding-dong the witch's head, he finally was able to get a home run on Saturday, but he's providing a 216. He's been a big flop as a former number one overall pick. Still don't know why he went number one in that draft, but different discussion for a different day. And for the Phillies, what I think is interesting with them is that outside of Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper, not a ton of power out of this team. You've got Harper, who's been able to give you nine or so home runs, but ever since he took that ball off the elbow, he's been a little bit in and out of the lineup over the last week and a half. Schwarber has been amazing. 20 home runs, 380 on base. Like, this guy has been great, but outside those two guys, nobody else with worth of seven home runs. Now, to the credit of Trey Turner, had a multi-home run game earlier this week. He's hitting for about a 300. But JT Realmuto has been a disaster. He's hitting at 225. Umando Sosa, move the line, no power whatsoever. Nick Castellanos hitting for a nice solid 285 or so average. Not a lot of power this year. Same goes for Alec Boehm. So, I mean, that's been a bit of an issue. And for Christopher Sanchez, he's up to 10 strikeouts per nine innings. He's giving up one home run per nine. And he's going against a Pittsburgh Pirates team that's dead last in the National League in terms of runs per game at home. I think that you get a low-scoring slog in this game. I actually set a total below 7, and I very rarely set a total below 7. As we know, the Pittsburgh Pirates once had a stretch this year where they had scored 4 runs or fewer in 26 straight games. They've been a little bit better here recently, but still, I can't trust in them being able to do their part with this total. I'm in on the Phillies on the money line, set them at a minus 113, and I'm in on the total under. I set my total at a 6.8, and I think that this is going to be a very fun one for Sunday, as well as can we finally find Spencer Strider to be able to reach his stride. This is 961-962 on the card with the Atlanta Braves and Strider. They are road favorites against the San Francisco Giants of between minus 114 to a minus 121. Even money to plus 105 is that number on the Giants and Landon Roop, and the total on this game is 8. Low-key, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball recently has actually been Landon Roop. 3 earned runs allowed over the course of his last 5 starts, 3.18 ERA, has had a little bit of command issues, about 3.2 walks per 9 innings, but he's keeping the ball in the yard, is giving you some good strikeout numbers, and he's backed up by a San Francisco Giants bullpen with a 2.38 ERA. That is a half a point clear of the next best bullpen in the big leagues, at the very least it was entering into Saturday, as you've got so many guys like Randy Rodriguez, Camilo Duvall, Tyler Rogers, Eric Miller. These guys are you're able to mix and match with, give you a sub-250 bullpen ERA. Spencer Bivens has been a relatively good long guy, but I do think that Spencer Strider is going to be able to return to form. Right now, I'm seeing that money line. I would want to be able to get a minus 114 or better. Right now, I'm seeing that at Circa. Going to be willing to dive in there. We'll tie this game up on the flip side, but I'm also looking at that under. I'll explain why and look at a little bit more baseball along with the NBA Finals on the flip side. Here on Cashing Out, I'm Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. And we left off talking about the Atlanta Braves versus San Francisco Giants game. And I was seeing before at Circa minus 114 on the Braves. That was my minimum buy point there. So I was trying to see, ooh, can we get a little bit of better value? Well, while I was at the break, the number has been steamed now on the Atlanta Braves. Now we're finding it here at Circa, where you were getting a minus 114 before, up to a minus 125. And if this continues to go up, I'm going to need to take a shot on the Giants. Like, I do think that Spencer Strider is going to come into his own. He has been giving you still 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. What has really hurt him this year, reason why he's got a 5.68 ERA, is the deep ball. He has allowed in his 4 starts this far this season, 4 home runs. He's giving up just way too much hard contact in general. You go out there to San Francisco, one of the best pitcher-friendly ballparks in all of baseball. That's big, but I just can't unsee what I saw on Thursday. Probably one of the worst beats I've taken in the history of my life was having the Atlanta Braves on the money line. They were up 6 runs with 1 out and no men on in the top of the 9th inning, and then they made like your buddy at the bar and they completely could not close. And for the Atlanta Braves, this is a bullpen that is currently a work in progress, because on top of them signing Craig Kimbrel, and And if your bullpen has Craig Kimbrel in there and the year is 2025, you are absolutely going the wrong way down a one-way street. But Desmo Hernandez was landed on the injured list, which is why they had to sign Craig Kimbrel. And he was actually one of their better relievers. Now, you've got the likes of Pierce Johnson, Dylan Lee. These guys have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA, but it's clear that Spencer Strider isn't necessarily right. And I will say this for the San Francisco Giants. Been a little bit, shall we say, up and down in terms of this lineup. You've had Jungle Lee along with Mike Yastrzemski. Now give you about a 330 on base. They've regressed from the beginning part of the season. Now you do have a trio of different guys. Matt Chapman, Wilmer Flores, Eloy Ramos give you between 10 and 11 home runs. And Ramos is hitting about a 290. They've actually got a similar on base he does to what you've been able to get out of Matt Chapman, right around about 340 to a 350 on base. Chapman hitting for a little bit less average though, but you do have some of these guys at the bottom of the lineup like Luis Matos, Patrick Bailey. They've been hitting below the Bidot sign of a 200 as well. And that's a big reason why I'm in on this under, but I was thinking, all right, if we could get like that minus 114, I'll be in on the Braves. All of a sudden, we are not getting that number, and if we can just get up a few more cents, and it looks like we might be able to get this line movement to go in my favor, I'll be willing to take a shot on the Giants on the money line. And with regards to this 8, I set my total at 7.4. Again, this Giants bullpen has been so good this year, and for the Braves, they're a better bullpen than what they showed a few nights ago, that's for sure. But how much better? That's a little bit of a question mark, and they're probably going to need to trot out there quite a few of these arms against Striders, or with Striders. So going to be most likely, in this case, looking at the Giants, if we can continue to get this number to go northward, and I'm going to be taking a look at this total under, as well as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eaps Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And we've had a lot of games that have sort of been on the board, off the board, and we've seen a lot of line movement, including this summer ticking down to where I think they've got some good value on the Detroit Tigers. This is 979, 980 on the card, as it is the Tigers playing host to the Chicago Cubs, as Cade Horton, as I like to call him, Cade Horton, here's a who, is going to be going for the Cubs, and got Captain Jack Flaherty on the bump for the Tigers. Tigers in a lot of places open up in that neighborhood about a minus 135 to a minus 140, and now you're finding them in that neighborhood about a minus 127 to a minus 135. Meanwhile, you're getting about plus 114 to a plus 120 with the Cubs. Total on this game is in a lot of places now an 8. This opened up at a 8.5 in quite a few spots, and it's ticking downward. And if we can get a even 8.5, I'd be willing to take a shot on the over. All the better if you're able to get an 8, which again, finding that at a lot of different places. But that said, with Jack Flaherty and the Detroit Tigers, set them at a minus 138 on the money line. So I'm going to be willing to dive in there. For Flaherty, he's been able to provide really good strikeout numbers. He's been giving you a little bit north of 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. What has really hurt him is the deep ball. And that is an issue when you go up against a Chicago Cubs team that has now 5 different guys with at least 10 home runs as far this season. They are the lone team in the big leagues that has that. Michael Busch being able to get home run number at the 10 of the season, he was able to get there. But you got Say Suzuki, Dansby Swanson, Pete Crow Armstrong, as well as Kyle Tucker, all with at least 10 home runs this season. So certainly that is a little bit of a concern for Flaherty, but it feels like Flaherty is starting to just be able to find it a little bit more, as he was at his best last season when he was with the Tigers, and then he gets traded away to the LA Dodgers, and all of a sudden things had went down the toilet bowl for him. But for Flaherty, doing a nice job not giving out a lot of walks as well. And for Cade Horton, he's been a presentable starter thus far for the Chicago Cubs, posting up a 3.51 ERA, former first-round pick out of the Oklahoma Sooners back in the day. But it does lead me to believe that there's going to be a little bit of regression here. He's been giving up the hard contact as well, giving up 1.4 home runs per 9 innings. Fielding dependent is more around a 4.44, as for Horton, he's given up 3 runs or fewer in each of his last 5 starts. Problem is, 3 of those starts, he's given up approximately 3 runs, albeit one of those starts, the start they had against the Nationals, there were a few unearned runs that were surrendered. But for this Detroit Tigers lineup, while they don't have quite as much firepower as the Chicago Cubs, you do have a trio of guys that have given you at least 12 home runs. Kerry Carpenter, Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson. Torkelson is giving you a 340 on base. Green has done a nice job hitting north of a 250, and Kerry Carpenter really doesn't draw a lot of walks, but he's hitting above 275. And then you've got someone like Gleyber Torres, who's been able to give you north of a 350 on base. Javi Baez being not useless unlike the last few seasons. Former Cub, he's been a big part of why this team has had the turnaround as well. Trey Sweeney has been able to move the line, so I really like that. And for the Cubs, to their credit, the bullpen has really been able to rise up. They've had a lot of guys come from absolutely nowhere whatsoever. Like, Drew Pomeranz has yet to give up a run this season. I have no idea how that's happened, as he was out of the big leagues for like 3 years. So, I mean, credit to him. Daniel Palencia, along with Brad Keller, are giving you a sub-250 ERA, so they've come up big. And it's actually been the guys like Ryan Presley, the now on the injured list Porter Hodge, who have been letting you down this year. But for the Detroit Tigers, dating back to the All-Star break of the 2024 season, the top of bullpen in terms of ERA out there, as you've had so many guys you're able to mix and match with. They've had to utilize Brian Herter for a starter or two, but I mean, that's a guy that's able to give you multiple innings. He's been supplying a sub-3 ERA. You've had Tyler Holton, Will Vest, Tommy Kahnle, all these guys give you a sub-3 ERA. We've got Brandon Hennepy, who's been able to give you some nice innings as well. So you've got a whole bunch of different guys being able to just sort of mix and match, dink and dump with. And for the Chicago Cubs team, though, I do think that they're going to be able to get quite a bit of just run creation in general in this game. I do think that the Tigers get to Cade Horton and find a way to get the job done. I was willing to lay up to a -138 on the Tigers money line. Now that this has come down, saw value there, and I did something I told a little bit north of an 8.5. So, especially at the 8, going to be taking a look at that over to go along with the money line of Detroit, and then we'll take a look at this game as well. This is another interleague game, and this was off the board for the most case early on, and I just don't see why we've got the Texas Rangers as this big of a favorite. 977, 978 on the card, as it is Jacob Lyons starting what appears to be a true bullpen game for the Texas Rangers, and Trevor Williams is on the bump for Washington. Washington's between a +118 to a +123 dog, and between -134 to a -140 is the number on Texas. Total on this game is 9, and much of this is because Trevor Williams has been, well, awful this year. He's got a 6 ERA, but I think that there's a little bit of positivity coming from him. He's only giving up about 1 home run per 9 innings. He's still been pretty solid in terms of command, giving up 2.5 walks per 9 innings. And here's a big reason why I like the under. What out of this Texas Rangers lineup has shown you that they are going to be able to turn things around? Like, you take a look at the names on paper for the Texas Rangers, and credit to them, they were able to get 5 runs on the board on Saturday. But I mean, this has just been a team that's been a big giant disappointment, because I've been waiting for these guys to hit, and then I've been waiting for these guys to hit more and more, and now we've gotten to game number 65 of the season, and sometimes you just have to say, you know what? It's just not going to turn around for them, because you've got a whole bunch of guys that have just been miring in mediocrity all season long. You've got Ezekiel Duran, Marcus Semien, Jake Berger, Jock Peterson, Adolis Garcia, all hitting a .215 or lower, all providing 7 home runs or fewer. Like, at some point, you just have to say, you know what? It is what it is, and you have to punt on the Texas Rangers. They get back Evan Carter, and he's done a big giant nothing burger for the team as well. Why Langford has given the team 11 home runs, but he's starting to see a dip in his average to .227. Really, other than the Joshes, Josh Young along Josh Smith, nobody's finding a way to be able to get on base for this team. As a matter of fact, you take a look at everyone that had a plate appearance for the Texas Rangers on Saturday. The only guy right now with a north of .320 on base, Josh Smith. Like, even since coming off the injury list, Corey Seager has not been good. They had to give him a little bit of a breather yesterday, because he's not necessarily giving you too much. And it's a Texas Rangers bullpen that, it's not bad, but it's not necessarily amazing. Jacob Lyons has been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. You've had Robert Garcia be able to give you some relatively solid innings as well. You've been able to have some mixing and matching with someone like a Luke Jackson, who's been out there, who's been able to give you some longer relief, as he's been providing about a .420 ERA. They've been utilizing him a little bit more in the closer's role this season rather than a long relief role. But I mean, you've got Chris Martin, sub-2 ERA, but I mean, not necessarily expiring a lot of confidence, we'll say, for the Washington Nationals. Bullpen is dead last in the National League in terms of ERA. They just can't find anyone whatsoever other than really Kyle Finnegan that's able to give you good innings. Like, they were trotting out their Lucas Sims earlier this year, and they just had to abandon ship on him, so that wasn't great. But the Nationals were actually 7th in the big leagues in terms of runs per game in the month of May. You've got James Wood giving you 16-plus home runs. I do think that they get to this bullpen. I think that this is going to be another lower-scoring game. At the 9, I'm in on the under. I set the Nationals as a favorite, so like them on the money line. And to wrap up the show, we're going to be taking a look at my finals game 2 bets for this Sunday, along with my MLB baseball bets. I'm cashing out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's the final segment of the night right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're listening live to Cashing Out, you're going to be getting a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay coming up at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, it's a VSiN Morning Line. Tim Murray and company do an absolutely tremendous job with that program, getting you set for a big Sunday of betting with the NBA Finals going down, all 30 teams in Major League Baseball, and I'm sure even though it's happening on Monday, they're going to do a nice job taking a look at Game 3 out there on the ice as well, so they've always got you covered there. And then you get Ready, Set, Bet. That is going to be coming up at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time. Matt Brown and company, they do a tremendous job there. I know that Mike Somich has been working some double duty this week with all of the horse racing that has been going out there, the final jewel of the Triple Crown. They always do a tremendous job. And then you get Live Bet Sunday, which I always appear with Scott Seidenberg every week on that program. So one of my joys of being able to take a look there, and my job now, be able to get you to that nice Sunday lineup safely, hopefully with a little bit more money in pocket. And how about first things first, we take a look at the NBA Finals. As I have been very much a proponent of in-game betting with regards to the NBA Finals, this line just came out to where I had to bet this thing prior to the game because I don't know if I'm going to be able to find a better in-game number. It's the Pacers and the OKC Thunder, and when this number came out on Thursday, the Pacers were anywhere between an 11 to an 11.5 point underdog. Total was opening up more around about a 227.5. This is now taken up to a 228.5. I took it right away. I took plus 11.5 with the Pacers, and I took the over on 227.5. Still advise both plays, even though it's moved a little bit. Now with the Pacers, you're at plus 11. You're at a 228.5 with this total for the Pacers. They were able to generate the offense that they did a few nights ago with 24 turnovers. They're not going to turn the ball over 24 times. So they also shot north of 46% from three-point range. And I'd be remiss if I did not mention that. They're going to cool down a little bit. Like, even for as hot as the Pacers have been all postseason long, and this team has just been a human heat check all throughout the postseason, they are going to cool down a little bit. But I mean, still, I do think that you've got some good value here. And I do think that you're going to be able to see some of these guys be able to bust out a little bit more. We were talking about it with Dan Karpuk, who does a tremendous job here at the network here in hour number two. And I know that he's taking a look at a little bit of a points, rebounds, and assists with Tyrese Haliburton, because you don't know if it's going to be the points. You don't know if it's going to be the assists. I really do like that look. That's not one that I necessarily have in pocket, but I think that Ben Mathurin, like, I have been a sucker for his props all throughout the postseason. He had a little bit of a muted game number one, as the entirety of the bench not named Obi Toppin for the Indiana Pacers were a little bit up and down. It was actually a little bit of a TJ McConnell game in game number one as well. I feel like Mathurin, he's just sort of been up and down with regards to his postseason results, because a lot of people are playing the zigzag theory here with regards to the spread with the OKC Thunder versus Pacers game. I think that you could utilize the zigzag theory with regards to Ben Mathurin and his player props. One night he's up, one night he's down, then he's down, and then he's back up. That's what we've been finding with him all postseason long. Being able to get over 8 points, you're able to get that at a minus 105. I think that's relatively solid value. And then with regards to the OKC Thunder, I think guys not named Shai Gilgeous-Alexander really need to step up. And I think that the guy that I look at the most is Jalen Williams. When Jalen Williams is going, this OKC Thunder team is as well. He's been their really number two guy, because that number three role, oftentimes it's going to be Chet Holmgren, but we saw Lu Dort be able to step up in game number one. He was really the lone guy outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that was able to give you good performance. But I do think that Jalen Williams has some value here. If you're looking in terms of both points and rebounds, you're able to find him at a relatively solid number. His points overall is at a 22, and I do think that you're going to be able to get a bit of value there. And then additionally, if you're taking a look at the rebound prop, Chet Holmgren's rebound prop in game number one was at a 10. Now it's at a 9. I'd be willing to take an over on a 9. I know that Dan Karpuk is also looking at Isaiah Hartenstein with a double-double. He was able to get that at plus $6. I know that a lot of places are posting that now at more like plus $5, but I do think that the OKC Thunder are going to be able to do a better job on the glass here than they did in game number one. So I think that both of those guys might have a little bit of value to the over. And Miles Turner, after he actually had a really good game number one, right now we're seeing his rebound prop at a 7. I'd be taking a look at that under as well. And then if I'm looking at a few more unders with regards to the scoring props in general, I think that Andrew Nembhard, going to see a little bit of regression from what we had in game number one, where he was pretty rock solid. Right now we're seeing that scoring prop at a 12. I'd be looking at that to the under. And Tyrese Haliburton, I think that he can go over points, rebounds, and assists. I don't know if he can go over 18 points. Like, we saw him have a relatively bad offensive performance prior to that last shot that he was able to hit as well. So, on the 18, I would need to go under there as well. And Pascal Siakam, probably going to see a little bit of regression. Right now, that scoring prop is at a 19. So, those are the looks I've got. We're in on the Pacers. We're in on this total over as well. And then, what I'm really liking here, again, Jalen Williams, over 22 points. I think that he's going to be able to pull that off. Looking at the Andrew Nembhard under, and then the overs with regards to Hartenstein, along with Chet Holmgren on the rebounding front, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we've got ourselves some great bets on the diamond, and they're all brought to you by GBank. GBank is introducing the $500 trifecta. It's GBank coming along with VSiN and First Bets to be able to supply this. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa signature card within the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN completes this trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st. That's a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. For this offer, this is a one-time promotion. It is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer, and this will not apply to requests for converting existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions, they do apply. I was mentioning in the previous segment that I'm going to be fading Paul Skeens, Dave, with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm going to be in on the Philadelphia Phillies on the money line, and I think that this one is very much one that we need to take a look at. I have not dove in on this game too much here tonight, but that said, I do think that there's some relatively solid value with it, as well as you've got yourself the Royals against the Chicago White Sox. That total is 9. I'm going to be willing to dive in on the under. Both of these teams are in the bottom 6 in the big leagues with regards to their overall scoring. You've got Michael Lorenzen, who's been shaky. He's giving you a 5 ERA. But again, with the Chicago White Sox team, bottom 5 team in terms of their overall home run power, you've had Miguel Vargas be able to give you 8 home runs this season. And to their credit, Mike Tauchman's coming off the injury list. He's been pretty rock solid. And for Mike Vasil, I do believe that there's going to be a regression to his sub-2 ERA, but I mean, him getting the start for the White Sox is actually music to my ears. I thought we were going to be getting Bryce Wilson, who's been absolutely terrible for the team. Now, being able to get a plus number on this run line for the Royals, right now seeing it at a plus 102 here at Circa, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on that. But the sub-2 ERA, the bullpen of the Chicago White Sox, not great, but the Royals, bottom 5 team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. I think that this total is just set too high. I'm going to be in on the under. I'm also going to be in on the under out there in Minnesota as well. The AL Central has just been producing a whole bunch of unders, and you've got the Blue Jays on the road against the Minnesota Twins. Joe Ryan is going to be on the bump for the Twins, and Bowden Francis goes for the Blue Jays, and Bowden Francis has given up 17 home runs this far this season. In case you're wondering, yes, that is number 1 in the big leagues for most home runs allowed. Not an area where you want to be leading, but Minnesota is actually a relatively good pitcher's ballpark. I think that he's going to be able to tone it down a little bit with regards to deep ball. And Joe Ryan has been great. Sub-3 ERA. At home, he has been able to do a nice job of keeping the ball in the yard throughout his career. And the Minnesota Twins do back him up with a top-10 bullpen in terms of ERA, albeit they had a little bit of issue with regards to the game on Saturday with Griffin Jacks getting all sorts of jacks up. But, I mean, even with Danny Kalum currently on the injured list, who had yet to give up an earned run this season, you've got the likes of a Yoan Duran, who's been able to give you a sub-2 ERA. You've got Cole Sands, along with someone like a Brock Stewart, give you a sub-3.2 ERA. And for the Minnesota Twins, they have a deal with Byron Buxton being in and out of the lineup. They, too, have been a team that's been not necessarily great with regards to their offense. They're a bottom-10 team with regards to home runs on a per-at-bat basis. You've had Trevor Larnage be solid, but for the Blue Jays, bottom-5 team with regards to runs per game away from them, they're generating about 3.2 runs per game on the road, and Dalton Varsho is right now number 2, or at the very least tied for number 2 on the team in home runs. And he's missed north of 35 games, and he's back on the injury list. So, I mean, that tells you where this Blue Jays lineup is at. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on that under. And with the Minnesota Twins, in terms of their money line, I did set this more around about a minus 173, minus 174. The run line prices, you're able to get that at north of plus 110. I'm going to be willing to dive in there. And Operation Fade, the Colorado Rockies, is back on. You're able to lay -2.5 with the New York Mets at about a minus 124. I'm going to be willing to do so once again. You've got a total of between 10.5 to 11 on this game as well, especially at the 11. I'm looking at the under just because don't think that the Rockies do their part with this total, but we're going to do our part with you in terms of providing some great content here on this Sunday. The weekend morning line is getting started at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, as Tim Murray and company, they do a tremendous job there. Ready, Set, Bet, that comes up at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, and then you'll be able to catch a guest appearance for myself towards back half of Live Bet Sunday. Always do a tremendous job there, taking a look at what we've all got on the front of this NBA Finals, along with the MLB front. That is going to be getting started at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern. It's all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.